Now, Job 2, 9 and 10, the Amplified Version. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still cling to your integrity and your faith and trust in God without blaming him? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the spiritually foolish women speaks, ignorant and oblivious to God's will. Shall we indeed accept only good from God and not also accept adversity and disaster?" In spite of all this, Job did not sin with words from his lips. We understand that at this time that Job was going through a life tragedy of ginormous proportions. It was unimaginable. Everything that this man of God, this God-fearing man had, it was taken away from him. I say everything this God-fearing man of God had, it was taken away from him. A man of God, a God-fearing man, everything that he had, that God had blessed him with, was taken away from him. Am I talking to somebody? It was what? Taken away from him. Save his wife. Oh, save his wife. It was a time of pain, of tragedy. It did not make sense. It just did not make sense. When we go through tragic moments, circumstances, and situations in our lives, it's so painful, it does not make sense. It does not make common sense. It is at these times that you don't know how you feel and you don't know how to feel. Have you been in that situation when you don't know how to feel? You don't know how you feel. If somebody asks you, "How are you doing?" Actually, you don't know. And if you were to be truthful with yourself, you would have to pause and think about the answer, because actually, you don't know how you feel. And not only do you not know how you feel, but you also don't know, how do I ought to feel in this situation? In what I'm going through, what is happening, what has befallen me, how am I supposed to feel? You don't know. You become confused. And this was the same thing with this great man of God and his wife. They did not understand. I say they did not understand. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verses 8 and 9. 16 to 18. The Bible says we are hard pressed on every side. Please, he's stating a fact. We are hard pressed. He's stating a fact. It's a matter of fact. We are pressed very hard. We are put under immense pressure. We are hard pressed on every side. There is no breathing space. There's nowhere to escape. We are hard pressed on every side now, and yet not crushed. Yet not destroyed. I say yet not destroyed. We are perplexed again. We are confused. We are baffled. We are discombobulated. We don't know. We have no idea why this is happening. Why is it happening to me? Why is it happening at this time? What is going on? We don't understand. It is he's stating a fact. We are perplexed. Are we children of God? Yes, but there are times when we, children of God, are puzzled. We go through stuff, we are puzzled, we don't understand, we don't know why we're going through, what we're going through. We are perplexed, but we are not driven into despair. We are confused, but we don't despair. We are confused, but we don't give up. We are confused, but we don't draw back. That tells you, children of God, a lot of things that would happen, that would come against us, at us, that we would not understand after the time. But that does not mean that God does not know nor understand. But God has permitted it that way. He has not given us a knowing or an understanding of what is going on. We are persecuted. Tell your neighbor, say, we are persecuted. Yeah, that's a fact. We are persecuted. We are. You as a child of God, do you know when you are going through persecution? Do you know when you are under persecution? Can you stand and say, right now I'm being persecuted? Apostle Paul knew. He knew that this time, right now, we are being persecuted. He understood that. He knew. He knew exactly what was going on. He did not lose his marbles. Confused, perplexed, yes, but he never lost his marbles because he knew we are persecuted. And God has allowed we are persecuted, but listen, we are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are not forsaken by God. We are not alone. Persecuted, we are not alone. When we go through persecution, we are not alone. When we go through persecution, God goes with us. Even though we may not feel that way, even though we may not sense that way, but we are not forsaken. We are not alone. We are never alone. The same one who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We are never alone. Listen, just because you cannot see God with your naked eyes, it does not mean that he's not around. It does not mean that he's not in the place. No, we are not alone. We are persecuted, but we are not alone. And he says, we are struck down, but we are not destroyed. We are struck down. Sometimes we are struck down. Sometimes we are struck down, but we will not be destroyed. Can you see that? Sometimes things are going to happen to us. Sometimes things are going to touch us. We are going to feel them. We are struck down, but God has promised, he says in his word, we will never be destroyed. No human being can destroy a child of God. God has not insulated us, has not shielded us from going through trying times. Because there is a reason why God permits trying times. If you are a Christian and believing in a God that will always shield you, that will always insulate you, that will always protect you from going through trying times, then you are a Christian that is very deceived. There is a season for every purpose, a season for everything, a time for every purpose under heaven. To everything, there's a time, a season for every purpose. If there's a time of calm, there is also a time of trouble. I say, if there's a time of calm, there is also a time of trouble. If there's a time for rejoicing, there is also a time for crying, a time for weeping. To everything under heaven, there is a time and a season. And we, my friends, my brothers, my sisters, my brethren, we are not insulated by God that from time to time we would go through persecutions. Verse number 16. We are hard-pressed, we are perplexed, we are persecuted, we are struck down, but we do not lose heart. Can you see verse number 16? But we don't lose heart. No, we don't lose heart. We don't faint. We don't lose heart. We don't faint. We don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Number 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it is transitory, it is transient. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us and not against us. I say it's working for us and not against us. What you are going through is working for you. God allows the persecution. I'll share about this at the end, why God allows persecution. But this is one of the reasons, because what you're going through, the persecution, God allows it because it's working for you and not against you. That's why we're talking about the right perspective today, a godly perspective. You need the right perspective when you're passing through things in life. The right perspective. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now listen, here's a perspective. While we do not look at the things which are seen. When you are going through what we are going through, what do you look at? What do you consider? What do you fix your mind on? When you're going through what you're going through, Paul says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, He understood that they had to go through what they went through, and that we Christians, long after them, we would also have to go through things, but we require to have and to keep and to maintain a right perspective at all times. We do not look at the thing that we lost. We do not look at the pain that we feel. We do not look at the hurt in our heart. No, we do not look at those things. While we do not look at the things which are seen, because all of these are things that are seen. Oh, I had this, it was taken from me. Oh, I was punched. Oh, I was kicked. Oh, I was stabbed. Oh, I was shot. Oh, no, no, the fact that we are still alive, God has kept you. Don't look at that. If you look at that, you have a wrong perspective, and you will hardly ever come out of this alive. You will hardly ever endure, persevere what you are going through. We do not look at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen. While everything is happening, our focus, our gaze, our view is not on what we see. And you see that? Our perspective, we lift up our eyes. Don't look at what we're going through and make a meal out of it. You talk about it when you wake up. You talk about it. The last thing when you sleep, you talk about it. The first thing you wake up, you talk about it. You're having breakfast, you're talking about it. You're having lunch, you're talking about it. You're having dinner, you're talking about it. No, no, no. You don't have a godly perspective. You're looking at wrong things. You're fixating on wrong things. You're fixating on wrong things. How long are you going to tell people what was stolen from you? How long are you going to keep telling people what was done? The injustice. We just read Psalm 103. He's the God of our righteousness and the God of our justice. He's the one who gives us justice. We do not focus, church, we do not focus at the injustice we go through. While we do not look at the things that are seen, because the things that are seen are temporary. We're looking at the things that are not seen. We have a God's view, a heaven's view, a heavenly view. And yet we are going through hard stuff. We are pressed hard. Christians, you understand that. There's going to come a time when we are pressed hard, and not on one side, on every side. It's going to come a time. It's for all of us. God permits it. And you will not be destroyed. God says, you will be hard-pressed on every side, but you will not be destroyed. God says, you will not be destroyed. You will scream and squeal, but you will not be destroyed. Hallelujah. For while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal, are eternal. That's why it says it's working out for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's what we fixate our gaze on. We fixate our gaze on. Don't focus on what you're going through. Leave it to God in prayer. That's why it says, do not worry. But by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make all your requests known to God. God does not want you to bother about the thing that you are passing through. God does not want you to kick a fuss out of the things that you are passing through. Actually, God does not want you to focus on the thing that you are passing through. God wants you to bring them to Him in prayer. Casting our cares to God. Casting our cares to Him. Listen, friends, a lot of things happen to us in life that most of us, like Job's wife, we lose perspective. She lost perspective. That's why the husband had to rebuke her. In the ongoing tragedy and pain, she had totally lost the perspective of God, the perspective of the situation. Why did God allow what was happening to them? Right? We may not understand why we are going through what we are going through, but there's a reason why God has permitted it. We may not know the reason yet, but there is a reason. Job's wife was consumed. She was swallowed up in the feeling of the moment, that she lost even the essence of God in her life, lost even the essence of God in her life. Sometimes we go through things, we lose even the essence. We totally forget about God. Job's wife totally forgot about God because of what they were going through. She was dazed in the pain. No matter what happens to us, we must never, ever, never, ever lose perspective. I love how the TPT puts it, verse number 17 of 2 Corinthians 4, right? We read it. I like the TPT's rendition of it. It says, we view. See, that's perspective. We view. How do you view what you're passing through? How do you view what you go through? We view. How do you view your constant lack of money? How do you view this situation that you have pain, that you've prayed for the pain to go and it doesn't go? How do you view that situation? How do you view the situation when you've been praying for years for things that you want, for things that you need, for things that you desire, and the things have not come yet? How do you view the situation? Having prayed for years. How do you view a situation when you were looking for something so desperately that eventually you got it and before you knew it, it was taken away from you? While we're still praising God and say, God, we are a faithful God, we are an awesome God, we are a God who delivers on his promises. What happens when that thing is suddenly taken away from you? How do you view the situation? See? God forbid that you will begin to philosophize, to intellectualize, to pontificate. God forbid that you will start doing those things. You need to maintain a godly perspective. We view our slight short-lived troubles in the light of eternity. Viewing everything in the light of eternity. Everything, my life, viewing my life in the light of eternity. The fact that I'm alive, view it in the light of eternity. It's my birthday, I'm growing, God is still keeping me. Viewing my birthday in the light of eternity. My blessings, viewing my blessings in the light of eternity. What I'm going through, viewing it in the light of eternity. The breakthroughs in my life, the downfalls in my life, the temptations, the trials, the tribulations, the troubles, view them. My fears, my weaknesses, my shortcomings, view them. All my infirmities, view them in the light of eternity. Light of eternity. Because at the end of it all, everything work out for eternity. Everything work out for eternal purpose. Everything works out for an eternal purpose. I say at the end of it all, at the end of it all, everything works out for an eternal purpose. At the end of it all, do you know what is everything? Do you know what I mean by everything? Everything means everything. At the end of it all, everything works out for an eternal purpose. Some of you are single, you want to get married, you understand that your marriage has got eternity in it, has got an eternal viewpoint in it, has got an eternal perspective. Do you understand that? So if you knew that, you would be careful how you choose. See? Because at the end of it all, everything works out for an eternal purpose. Your singleness. Thank God that you are single. And I pray to God to keep you that way until Jesus comes. Thank God for your singleness, because your singleness works out for an eternal purpose. At the end of it all, everything works out for an eternal purpose. We view our slight short-lived troubles in the light of eternity. And if we view everything in the light of eternity, we would not be there to complain when we have and when we don't have. We would not be there to complain when good things happen to us or bad things happen to us. To us, it'll be the same. This is the view. You see, this is the perspective that Paul had all the time. He said, whether I have or I don't have, I give God the glory all the time because I have learned to be content. See, that's a perspective. I have learned to be content. Whether I'm rich or I'm poor, I've learned to be content. Whether I have or I don't have, I have learned to be content. That's a godly perspective. Everything works out at the end for an eternal purpose. For an eternal purpose. Your hunger, your desperation, your lack. Do you understand? There's an eternal purpose in this thing. And you're crying for it to go. This is the reason Paul says, and it was given to me, a messenger of the devil, to buffet me, to trouble me, to inflict me, to afflict me. You see? He says, Lord, I pray to the Lord to remove it, but God says, no. I'm not going to take it. Why? Because there was an eternal view. But Paul didn't know it at the time. It was working out for him. The messenger of Satan given to his flesh was working out for him. Eternal point of view. We see our difficulties as the substance that produces for us an eternal weighty glory far beyond all comparison. Come on, let's say this was you. Come on, read it for yourself. Let's say this was your mindset. Imagine what a beautiful person would be. Imagine what a healthy person would be spiritually. You'd be so strong. You'd be so buff in the spirit. If this was you, I view my light. Or rather, I view my slight short-lived troubles in the light of eternity. I see my difficulties as the substance that produces for me an eternal weighty glory far beyond all comparison. Huh? So when you're going through discomfort, you won't be complaining. Last Sunday, I said I'm tired of the Christians. When they're going through small, they squeal like girls. They're so spoiled. Nothing must touch them. Nothing bad must touch them. They're so spoiled. In fact, it's an insult to girls. Girls are very strong. Girls give birth, a man could faint. The first contractions, a man could die on the false alarm. You know, false alarm, a man could just pass out on the false alarm. Girls are very strong, stronger than men. Girls have got inner strength. Men have outer strength. See that? We complement one another. Inner strength, outer strength. Back to the message. That's why the boys, when they walk, they push out their chests. But you don't know how big the internal chest of a woman is. It's bigger than yours. It's just that you can't see it. It's got a very big one. We must never forget who God is to us, church, when we're going through things. We must never forget who we are in Him when we are going through tough times. Job's wife, in essence, was saying to Job, forget about God. Forget about God. This is precisely the enemy's agenda. Remember the devil went to God and said, Lord, if you'd allow me to touch him, if you can allow me to take away from this guy these things, this man would curse you to your face. Can you see that? So it's easy to say, I really fully believe that Job's wife was instigated by the devil. Satan instigates people against us. How is it that Job's wife could repeat exactly the same words that the devil said to the Lord? Said, take away everything that you've given him. He will curse you to your face. And what does Job's wife say to Job? Curse God and die. Forget about this God of yours. There's nothing here. That's the enemy's agenda. That's why some of you, when you pass through things, you are always crying in prayer because of what you felt, because of what you lost. How can Holy Spirit heal you like this? You're not even saying, Lord, please heal me. I don't want this thing anymore. Because this thing is not working out. Me focusing on it is not working out for me. A far more eternal weight of glory. Satan will do whatever he can. He will up the stakes if he should, and he will, for us to forget about God when we are going through things and not to focus on God. Hallelujah. We must always remember that there is no temptation, no trial, no test, no tribulation, no trouble that God will allow to come to us more than what we are able to bear. To bear. Listen, it's so comforting. The devil could not touch Job. He had to go to God to ask for permission. Can you see that? Now you can see that the devil is not omnipotent. Everything that the devil does is allowed by God. It's by God's permission. He can do beyond that. He wanted to destroy Job because he hates all God-fearing people. But he couldn't. He had to go to the boss and ask for permission. See, the devil is not omnipotent. I think we tend to give the devil credit that he does not deserve. Satan can't do anything to you unless God has allowed him. God had to allow him. He took away everything that he had, but that was it, because God had allowed him at the time that you can take away everything that he has, because you say that if all those things are removed from him, then he will curse me to my face. But he couldn't do any further. What happened? He went back to God to try to persuade God again, but he didn't persuade God because God knows everything. He says, Lord, skin for skin, skin for skin. Let me touch this man's health. Let me afflict him with sickness and disease. Let's see if he will not. See, Lord, he's still healthy. I took away everything that he had, but he's still healthy. He's still strong. But when he begins to feel physical pain, can you see that? So the devil cannot do beyond what God has allowed. God will not permit us to go through beyond what we are able to bear, beyond what he has given us the grace to bear. A lot of things happen, friends, to us in this life, and will continue to happen to us in this life. But unfortunately, most of us will lose perspective. Very few of us really, as Christians, and this is not, I'm not proud to say this, but very few of us Christians maintain the right perspective in difficult times. Very few of us remain calm. Calm in difficult times. Remain calm and determined, keeping our gaze on God in difficult times. We don't do that. We run to people. And it's so sad. We run to people that knew us to be Christians, that saw us all the time going to church. But when things happen, we run back to them and report to them of what we are going through. People say, so what's the point? What's the point? What's the point? What's the point? I thought we were Captain America. What's the point? We're failing to maintain a right perspective. We tend to get thrown out of balance by bad things, by bad news, by bad happenings. We tend to be thrown out of balance, and that's not how we should be. That's how Job's wife was. I checked in Google the word perspective. I know it, but just checked it. There are a couple of definitions, but the one that I like in line with what we are discussing today is this: perspective, is true understanding of the relative importance of things. Perspective is true understanding of the relevant importance of things, a sense of proportion. Oh, I like that. Having a sense of proportion, viewing all things and having a proportional, a balanced view. And not go to the extremes. When something happens, we tend to go to the extremes. See, when we go through things, we tend to lose a sense of balance, a balanced point of view. We fail to balance out what we are going through with the Word of God. Yeah, now this is the thing. Christians, they love the Word of God in good times. When things are okay, when in still waters, Christians love the Word of God, but in troubled waters, they lose focus of the Word. They lose focus. Not only do they lose focus of the Word, they lose focus of their tongues. Their tongues cease. In difficult times, Christians' tongues, they cease. See that? They don't have a sense of balance. Job had a sense of, we will see, Job had an amazing sense of balance. That sense of balance is for all of us who are children of God, even better than Job, because the Holy Spirit, He dwells on the inside of us. Us. I'm not going to belittle what I'm saying, and I'm going to say what I'm going to say in all humility and out of respect, what I'm going to say next. When we're going through difficult times, we're going through issues, we go to unbelieving therapists. When we're going through things, we go to unbelieving psychologists. What you are doing, it's an indictment against the faith you proclaim. It's an indictment that you claim to be spirit-filled, you claim to be a child of God, but when things are happening, when the chips are down, you go to unbelieving people. People who speak to ancestors, people who do rituals. This therapist of yours, this psychologist, no wonder we are not getting better. But we are the same man. Holy Spirit is my friend. Do not understand, Paracletus also means that he is your counselor. Counselor, what is a counselor? He's your therapist. He's your psychologist. But when you're going through things, you lose perspective. Come on. Why is our Christianity not real? Huh? Oh, Holy Spirit, he's my friend. He's my counselor. He's a what? He's my teacher. He's my this, he's my that. He's my goal. Oh, I like this one. He's my comforter. Ah, but when you're breaking, you don't go to a comforter. Head knowledge. Head knowledge. We are full, at the most, we are full of head knowledge. When you go through things, who's your comforter? Who is your comforter? Is your comforter when in good times? Let's be honest. When you go through things, it's no longer your comforter. You are going to the world to look for help. I'm saying it again. You're going to the world. What happened to your comforter? You are sitting before someone who does not know God. You are weeping as a Christian. This person doesn't know God and is supposed to counsel you. They're not going to give you a godly counsel because they don't know God. And you are weeping before this person. You, the one who pray in tongues. We are making a mockery of Christianity. We are powerless believers. I'm not belittling any profession, but come on, perspective. Have a balanced view. Proportionality. 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 If I'm having marital problems, I will never go as a Christian. I will never go for counseling to someone who does not know God. I'll never do that. I will never do that. I will never do that. Who's counseling? Jesus is like, huh? Who's counseling who here? It's an indictment against what you proclaim. It's an indictment. Holy Spirit is grieved. He's grieved. The one you call your friend is grieved. The one you call your helper is grieved. The one you call your comforter is grieved. The one you call your counselor, he's grieved. The one you call your strengthener, he's grieved. The one you call your standby, he's grieved. Do you know when you're grieving the Holy Spirit? Do you know? When you're blurting out your problems to unbelieving people, you're grieving him. When you're sharing your difficult times, the things you're passing through with unbelieving people, you're grieving him. With unbelieving friends, you're grieving him. Oh, hallelujah. Verse number 10 of Job. Verse number 10 of our key scripture. But Job said to her, "You speak as one of the spiritually foolish women speaks, ignorant and oblivious to God's will." Job says to his wife, "You are spiritually foolish and ignorant." How many of us are spiritually foolish and ignorant when we are passing through difficulties? Job says, "My wife, it had nothing to do with their relationship. It had nothing to do with that. You have been foolish at this point. We have been very daft. You are so ignorant. You have become oblivious of God's will, God's part in the matter. Whatever you're going through, what is the part of God in the matter? You are discounting," this is Job, "you are discounting and discrediting God as though God were careless and oblivious of us." God has not forgotten you. He's not oblivious. He hasn't forgotten you. But my wife, the way you are talking, you're really talking like a very foolish person, foolish and ignorant. Why? Because you have no concept of who God is. Job's wife had no concept. This one statement sells her off. She had no concept of who God is. A lot of us, it is seen by when we're going through difficulties that we have no concept of who God is. The God that we proclaim, we have no concept of who he is. We have forgotten that God has promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us no matter what happens. This is, in essence, what Job was saying to his wife. Have you've forgotten that God has promised that he would never leave us, he would never forsake us no matter what happens. Now, if you knew that, you would not be talking the way you're talking. The man of God, Job, says, "Shall we indeed accept only good from God and not also accept adversity and disaster? Shall we indeed accept only good from God and not also accept adversity and disaster?" Now Job is bringing a right perspective to the wife. "My wife, please take it easy. Calm down. Cool off. Cool off, madam. Shall we indeed accept only good from God and not bad things as well?" He was bringing a right perspective, a godly perspective, a right frame of mind, a balanced view of God and us and what happens to us. A balanced view. God, us, and the life that happens to us. To have a balanced view of the three things. God, you, and what happens. Life happens. The ever-changing fortunes of life, the vicissitudes of life, the ever-changing fortunes of life, having a balanced view. I am content that no matter what I'm going through, I know that God never changes, and God has promised he will never flip-flop on his promises. That's a godly perspective. That's a godly perspective. Not dictating to by the pain that I'm going through. Not dictated to by the emotions I'm going through. not dictated to by the anger, the rage that I'm going through. No, a right perspective. Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, He's been beaten, He's been flogged, He's been humiliated, He's been disgraced, He's been done all of those things. They are forcing Him to carry the cross, and the women that are following after Him, they're going around and they are crying, and He looks at them at that crucial hour when the pain He was feeling, there is no human description. And He looks at them and says, "Women, don't cry for me." Listen to that perspective. Listen to that perspective. And this is the point when we want self-pity. That's why we want to tell the whole town of what I went through. You want to tell the whole, every time you go through something, you want to tell the whole town what you went through. You're even telling witches and warlocks. And they're like, "Yes, it worked. Yes. The curses were placed on him. They are working because we are giving them feedback." As women, don't cry for me. Don't cry. You know what the Lord is feeling at that point. Don't cry for me. Cry for yourselves and for your children. Don't cry for me. Don't cry for me. Why? He knew the purpose of why he was going through what he was going through. Do you know the purpose of why you're going through what you're going through? Don't cry for me. Let alone Argentina, don't cry for me. It is interesting that as people, when something happens, especially something that we don't understand, suddenly everyone seems to have an opinion, a perspective, a personal point of view. It's a very interesting human trait. Very interesting. But this is the very same thing that Job, he calls foolishness and ignorance to his wife. Why? Because you neither know nor understand the reason why what happened. That's what Job was saying. You don't understand. But it is human that whatever we go through, without knowing why, without understanding why, we formulate a perspective. We have something to say. What do you have something to say about something that you don't know or understand? What do you have to say? Honestly, what do you have to say? Job says, if you open your mouth, you are foolish and ignorant. You are foolish and ignorant. Hallelujah. Our knowledge and our understanding are very limited, church. We don't know all things. I said we don't know all things. We need to keep quiet. This is precisely what Job was saying to the wife. Says, you don't know, you don't understand why God has allowed this tragedy, this adversity, this disaster. So my wife, you'd rather keep quiet. Don't say anything or venture an opinion about something you don't know. Tell your neighbor, please say, don't say anything or venture an opinion about something you don't know. You look very respectable when you're quiet. Tell your neighbors, you look very respectable. You look very intelligent. You look very wise when you're quiet. Because otherwise, when we say something, we neither know nor understand, we make fools of ourselves and we make ourselves tools in the hand of Satan. Job's wife became a tool in the hand of the devil. That's why he could go and attack Job again through his wife, curse God and die. Curse God. Deuteronomy chapter number 29 and verse 29, the Amplified. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things which are revealed and disclosed belong to us and to our children forever. The secret things belong to the Lord. When God has not revealed, has not disclosed, it ours is to look unto him and pray, please, not to speak of things we have no understanding of, like the wife of Job. We don't understand why what is happening is happening. We do not know everything. You know, we like to have a say in everything, but yet we don't know everything. We like to have a say in everything, but we don't know everything. We like to have a say in everything, but we don't know everything. Now you can see it's impossible to have a say in everything because you don't know everything. It's impossible to have a say in everything because you don't know everything. Please, please calm yourself. Have a grip on yourself. You don't know everything. Sometimes we get baffled, bewildered, perplexed, like I said earlier on, because we don't know or understand everything. That's why we get bewildered, we get perplexed, we get baffled, church. Now, our God has a way of revealing things to us on a need-to-know basis. See, God has a way. He doesn't reveal everything to us. He doesn't disclose everything to us. But he has a way of revealing and disclosing things to us on a need-to-know basis. We all know this. Some of us to this day, we're still harboring questions of the things that have gone down in our lives. We're still harboring questions. Why did this happen this way? Why? It's good to remain with the wise because at least we know that we don't know as we ought to know, and that we don't know because God has not revealed, has not yet disclosed to us. Sometimes we cry out after something has happened and we say, where is God? Where was God? How could God allow such a thing? Don't we? And on and on and on we go. Where is God? Where was God? When this happened, where was God? God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. At the same time, God, hey! Job's wife, scam yourself. But like Job says, friends, shall we indeed accept only good from God and not also accept adversity and disaster? I'm saying to you, friends, you will say, where is God? Where was God? How could God allow such a thing? What kind of a God is this? And on and on and on. Shall we indeed accept only good from God? Really? Really? And not also accept adversity and disaster? Is God indeed only good in good times and not in bad times? Is God indeed only good in good times and not in bad times? When they jump you, God is not good. Right? When you pick up money from the street, God is good. They jump you on the same street, God is bad. From the same street you pick up money, God is good. Really? Is God indeed only good in good times and not in bad times? People don't generally curse God in good times. I say people don't generally curse God in good times. But it's when what they had is taken away from them, when they lose it. When their good name is taken away from them, they lose it. Their position, their status, their money, their high life, their possessions, their things, their wealth, their riches, that's when they start to curse God. But when they had these things, God was very good. Oh, God is good. God gives us a baby in this house. Oh, there's rejoicing. God gave us a child, and it was an easy birth. It was not difficult. There was no C-section. It was wonderful. The nurses, the doctors, they were really awesome at the hospital. Oh, God is good. Right? Buy a car, God is good. Buy a house, God is good. But just lose a kettle from this house. Someone comes to steal a kettle. You change tune. Where was God? Psalm 91. Where was Psalm 91? Job's wife didn't think of telling anyone to curse God. Remember, she told her husband to curse God and die, but she did not think Prior to that, she did not think of telling anyone to curse God. When she had 7 sons and 3 daughters, life was good. She never thought of God as bad. She never thought of God to be cursed and a person to die. She never thought of that. 7 boys, 3 daughters. When her husband was the richest man of all the people from the east, God was good to her. When her husband was the richest man in the area, in the locality, in the province, she was very happy. When she lived in a big house, in a vast, sprawling estate, she was happy. When she lived in the lap of luxury, when she lived in the trappings of success, God was good. But when she lost all of those things, God became a devil to her. When we are healthy, when we are doing well, when things are good, God is good. But when persecutions come, the Bible says because of the word. See? It becomes a different story. Why do we backpedal on our commitment to God when our fortunes change and when life bears down on us? It is because we don't maintain a godly perspective like Job. What do? We backpedal on our commitment to God. We backpedal on our faith in God. We backpedal. When our fortunes change, when life begins to bear down on us, when we begin to be pressed so hard, we don't maintain the right perspective. That means we don't see things as we ought to see them. We don't see things as we ought to see them. Instead, we become flip-floppers. We flinch back when things get hard. What do? We draw back. We draw back. I wonder what would happen to someone used by God and you pray for people, they get healed. Even though others don't get healed, we don't understand. Deuteronomy 29:29. And people fall. I wonder what will happen when no one falls anymore. When you don't see nothing in the spirit anymore. When you don't seem to hear God anymore. I wonder what would happen to that person. And it's a doubt. What did God really call me? But when things are happening, God called me. Human beings. We read during the week, I don't remember when, that God will not strive with man forever. When was it again? He knows that we are but flesh. We're passing by.